Good morning, Mayflower. Welcome to online worship at the Mayflower Congregational Church. I'm Pastor Mark. I'd like to say some thank yous today. Thanks to those who were able to help prepare Advent House lunches for our Lansing neighbors yesterday, and to those who helped beautify and enhance church property, including our memorial garden. And I would like to also thank our sexton, Joe, for the loving care that he has been giving to that same effort in the beautification and maintenance of our church property. Thanks to the continuing work of our administration and finance team, Lorraine Finneson and Linda Wheeler, who work hard to provide updated information on how our church is doing. Thanks to our production manager, Kim Finneson, who has worked long and hard to position and test new equipment that you may notice in today's worship. And thanks to our worship team and music director, Barb Fuller, who works hard to enhance our worship by planning beautiful music each week. Thanks to all of our staff, including Pastor Linda and Deanne. And thanks to our trustee chairperson, Sue Mott, who is overseeing the maintenance improvements of our driveways and parking lot that will be happening very soon. And most of all, thanks to all of you for your faithful and incredible loyalty, commitment, and support to the work and ministry of the Mayflower Church. To God be the glory. Next week is the second time, being the first Sunday of the month, that we will observe virtual communion. So if you are already planning a trip to the grocery store, you might want to get some grape juice. If you're not going to the grocery store, use whatever you have, and we will have communion, and we'll look forward to that. I'd also like to thank all of you for the generous response to the Midland flood victims that we'll be forwarding very soon. Your response has been amazing, and our contributions will join with other congregational churches in the Central District to help alleviate pain, suffering, displacement, and hunger during this very difficult time. Thank you, Mayflower. Let us now worship our God.
Amen.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is peace. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is love. There is comfort in life's darkest hour. There is light and life. There is help and power in the Spirit of the Lord. Let us continue to worship in that Spirit of the Lord on this Pentecost Sunday. Pray. Lord, we are living in a dark hour of life. The forgotten voices are crying out. Our cities are burning. The forces of evil are trying to extinguish the flames of righteousness and the light of your truth. Many politicians have no idea how to bring us together, yet some do. So help us to maintain our faith in all humanity, because what you have created, you call good. Help us as we worship to see and reach for the highest good in all of us. Help us to avoid cynicism and carry out your call to be beacons of light to the world because of the light which is shining before us, the light of Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Even time, and
May that very Spirit of God abide with us and descend upon us as we continue worship with the pastoral prayer. Let us pray. Gracious Lord and loving God, we ask right now that you would take away our fear and give us the courage of Christ. Help us to see beyond the disturbing images we are all too anxious to watch. Help us to see all humanity with the eyes of Christ. And give us the fortitude to know that we can make a difference even as we seek your promised Spirit during this worship hour. Help us to be more anxious to act than we are to pray. Yet, help us to keep praying, particularly for our local leaders, the mayors and governors who are closest to the strife, the policemen and guardsmen who put their lives on the line in order to protect and calm. Help them to act with restraint, even within their strict orders. Help us not to make premature judgments as we are often prone to do. Help us to listen to the most forgotten and disregarded voices in our land. Give us the love of Christ when we are so tempted to express unhealthy attitudes to those we don't understand or tend to hate. We pray for an end to the violence, but also with a sharpened sense of the systemic injustices in our land. Help us to believe in the healing power of your Spirit and the power of prayer, even as we pray for those that are near and dear to our hearts, like the Woodward family, including Jake, Kathy, and Carla. Be with Linda Williams and many, many others, some of whom we mentioned just now. Lord, hear our prayers, and we pray boldly and earnestly that you would answer our prayers, even as we are taught the patience of unanswered prayer. Help us to pray like you would want us and have us to pray as we join our hearts together in your prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. Amen.
Good morning. Today's scripture reading is Psalm 104, verses 24 through 34. Today is Pentecost Sunday, when we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, which gave initial life and energy to the church before it began. Today's reading reminds us that the Spirit is also evident and active in all of creation. Hear now these words. O Lord, how manifold are all your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the sea, great and wide. Creeping things, innumerable, are in there. Living things, both small and great. There go the ships and the Leviathan that you formed to sport in it. These all look to you, to give them their food in due season. When you give to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. And when you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your Spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works, who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing of the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear.
One more prayer. Lord, may this meditation be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Amen. We've been through a tough week, and this is a tough sermon. So I want to begin today by speaking from my heart. This is perhaps a little separate from my sermon, but maybe not. My message has been altered a bit from what I had prepared earlier in the week. Sometimes I speak for myself and by myself, but I'd like to think that I speak for God. I may not always know the difference, so you will have to be the judge. But I want you to listen nonetheless. I'd like us to really think about what we have to say this morning in light of this week's tragic events that have unfolded in our country. There comes a time when a preacher must not be silent. I cannot be silent. It has been a while since I have felt the heavy heart that I feel today, perhaps with all of you. I know that for most of us, we would like a break from the news, especially this week when we come to church, even if it is online. We all like messages of hope, comfort, and reassurance. And I intend to do that today. But no one should listen to a sermon today and not hear something which speaks to the situation of our country. This week, admittedly, has felt like 1968, a year I lived through, and many of you did too, where the outrage against a war in Vietnam was building. Early that year, the Tet Offensive in Vietnam caused escalation of that war, testing the will of politicians who sent our sons into the quagmire of a prolonged and protracted war. Racial tensions were high. Riots had occurred in almost every major city, American city, including Detroit. And patience was wearing thin, especially with young Americans, as they saw their brothers, fathers, and friends come home, many of them in body bags. It took longer for most parents, who tended to be more supportive of the war, but they also grew weary of the body bags with their sons and occasionally their daughters. You might be aware of the fact that there are 5 women whose names are included on the wall in Washington, D.C. As usual, minority populations suffered the highest casualty rates in that conflict. There were campus sit-ins, protests, flag burnings, and the protests often turned violent and destructive. It ruined the presidency of Lyndon Johnson and likely ruined him as a person, as many recalled how it affected him personally. A recession was beginning to settle in, and the graduating high school and college students' job prospects looked fairly bleak. Then 2 of our most respected and beloved voices of peace and harmony were assassinated, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy. Big-time trouble broke out during the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. President Nixon was then elected on a slogan and platform of law and order. That sounded good, but how did that end up working for us? Especially when we later found out about his own misdeeds with the law, his secret recordings, and then his refusal to recant or admit any wrongdoing. Trust in government began to seriously wane. Does any of this sound familiar? Have we not been through a long and protracted war where just this week we have realized that after nearly 20 years, the enemy known as the Taliban has outlasted the will, determination, and the incredible bravery of our American soldiers? This candle right here that's burning on the altar is a candle that shall not be extinguished until war shall cease. We will do our best at the negotiation table and withdraw our forces, but has it been worth it? Do you know anyone who was killed in the Afghanistan or the Iraq wars? Sometime when you have a chance, ask Deanne, my wife. She will tell you about the little boy next door who always wanted to come over to help Mr. Galbraith with anything he was doing in the yard. Mr. Galbraith, can I help? Well, you better go ask your mother. And he went and asked his mother, and there was little Joe out in the yard, digging and helping a most delightful 10-year-old boy. And it still gives Deanne chills and sometimes tears when we drive south on US 23 and see his name, Sergeant Joe Johnson, attached as a memorial on that highway, when he very courageously volunteered to clear landmines for others before they went into harm's way. That memorial is nice, but I doubt if it brings a whole lot of consolation to his family, whom I have met. After the turbulence of the 60s, which largely ended with the tragic shootings of protesters at Kent State University on May 4th, 1970, also known as the Kent State Massacre, when four unarmed student protesters were killed. And then we began the long slide, if you want to call it that, into life that gradually returned to normal. Ironically, normal is not always a good thing. Needed changes rarely, if ever, happen during normal times. Later was the oil embargo, the 55-mile-an-hour speed limits, more recessions and the like, presidential scandals and protests like Occupy Wall Street, which lasted for a few weeks until seemingly all was forgotten. We have kind of drifted off into a doze where we've had the mistaken belief that we have made incredible progress. And almost without realizing it, the church largely isolates itself from these conflicts, except for minority churches where the injustices of society are most keenly felt. In fact, when church attendance was at its peak in this country, black Americans were struggling to be able to choose the neighborhood to which they wanted to live, sent their children to largely inferior public schools, were shut out at the polling stations where they were intimidated and discouraged to vote, could not ride in the front of the bus, could not be served in certain restaurants, stay in certain hotels, or even drink at the same water fountain. Surely some of these things were different in the North, but somehow, generally, we didn't care enough to do much about it. Because of all this, I want you to know that I have a problem with the idea and longing for the good old days. I think this is largely the reason the church has lost much of its influence. Here is a word of hope that we might be looking for. The church will never and shall never lose all of its influence. Jesus said he would build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I am determined, we are determined to be a part of that building progress. Something must be said, something must be done, and let it begin with us. You give me hope, Mayflower. The Church of Jesus Christ is and shall be alive and well. Amidst the backdrop of the pandemic this week, we saw a most terrible act of violence perpetrated against an unarmed black man by those whose job it was to serve and protect. Now, I am not the judge and jury, neither are you. And there is an overwhelming majority of police officers in every city and state who serve with compassion, dignity, and honor, and who are just as outraged as we are as to what we saw on the video. But what we saw brought outrage. And as we have seen, the soul of our country has once again been torn asunder. Rioting isn't the answer. In fact, it is wrong, especially when property and lives are placed in danger. But I have too many African friends and relatives, yes, relatives, some of whom are members of this church that I know or have known intimately, whose stories I've heard, whose experiences are real, not to be sympathetic to the communal sense of helplessness, outrage, despair, and hopelessness that many of them feel. And much of the rioting has been propagated and stoked by others who would like to subvert and destroy the voice of the unheard, the marginalized, and the oppressed. The rioting is bad, terribly bad, but it was not the worst thing that happened this week. It was the incident which caused it. Progress is not as nearly certain as we once thought it was. But on this Pentecost Sunday, I offer you hope in the Spirit of Christ. I am determined, greatly determined, that the news feed, whichever network you watch, is not your main diet of information and perspective. I wouldn't be standing here this morning if I didn't believe what I might say could make a difference, because what God says makes a difference, especially when this Christ I offer and we offer said, "Do not fear those who can kill the body, but instead those who can kill the soul." Our fear prevents us from acting, and with it I want to tell you that the riots we have observed are not the cause of the trouble, they are the symptoms of our trouble. Jesus also said, "Nothing is covered up that will be what will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known." One of the reasons I am a Congregationalist is because I don't want to spend time in church dividing theological hairs and debating doctrine while the world around us goes to hell in a proverbial basket. I don't want to be a part of putting up walls around our church when someone who might not fit our description of worthiness, compatibility, or theological correctness to be able to join this hospital for sinners, otherwise known as the church. On Pentecost Sunday, exactly 50 days past Easter, when miraculous and often misunderstood events ushered in the age of the church 2,000 years ago, it brought people together from all over the world, and by a miracle of God, they heard good news in their own language. The exact opposite of what happened at the Tower of Babel, we read in Genesis, when language was confused and the people scattered. The Spirit of God is a unifying force. The unity of all people and all creation. Psalm 104, as read this morning, emphasizes the Spirit's effect upon all creation, including land and sea, fish and mammals, creeping insects, creatures large and small, even sea monsters, and the ships that ply the waters. That Spirit, that breath, that wind which moved across the deep waters as God created the earth, that breath of God which entered humankind, that mighty wind which brought unity and unspeakable joy to thousands at the birthday of the church, brings life, energy, vitality, and perspective to our worship, to our work, and to our witness. It helps the church to speak with one voice. The Spirit of God begets unity. It is a trademark of God's Holy Spirit. And as a follower of Christ and indeed a pastor, I commit myself over and over again and work hard to maintain the unity of believers. So help me God. I want us to be a unified force for good, for hope, for peace and for reconciliation. And the Spirit will give us energy and momentum in confronting nonviolently with courage the ills of our society, including racism. Now, we will not be soldiers, warriors, or patriots in this quest, but we will be Spirit-filled people, God's people, wise like serpents, yet harmless as doves. And folks, I believe with all my heart, as I stand in this pulpit this morning and see you with my mind's eye, that the dove of the Lord during this pandemic and always, and especially now, has descended like the dove was promised by our Lord. Why? Because I believe still that we in the church, we who are faithful followers of Christ, are still willing to listen and we are willing to act. But we all need a little direction. May the Spirit give us direction. I will say personally that I desperately want us to hear a different narrative, which should be decidedly different from what you may have seen and heard on TV this week. Watching the news on television can produce a cynical spirit. It can produce a hopelessness which leads to a narrative that we can't do anything about it. We can do something about it. As a preacher of the gospel and your pastor, I want you to know that God's narrative is alive and well. And I and we will do our best to live it and share it. So here are just a few suggestions to let the Spirit of Christ rule in our land, our church, and in our hearts. If you don't know those who have lived through the anguish and fear of the police, then seek out someone and listen to their stories. And if you can't do that, seek out something to read about the stories of people who suffer that anguish. Read about John Adams' attempt to put an anti-slavery plank into the Declaration of Independence. And then after that, read what happened. Read about the prediction of the coming conflict that they knew, that he knew would happen when they failed. And they failed. Be affirmatively active toward minorities, the handicapped, the dispossessed, and those who live in crime-ridden, blighted neighborhoods. Look those people straight in the eye. With the same warmth you greet others when you enter the church, smile, say hello, and treat everyone with the dignity with which God has treated us. Thanks, Mom, for teaching me that and living it out. And finally, when in doubt, when in fear, assume the best in human nature, because when God breathed the breath, God's Spirit, into the life of all of us, God saw that it was good. And it is good. Thanks be to God. God can be seen in unusual places, and you can too, because I'm seeing you right now, all of you. And I know so many of you pray for this service, and we thank you for that. Yes, God has been seen and can be seen in unusual places, none the least of which is fire. God was leading the people at night with a pillar of fire. God was seen, or Moses saw God in the burning bush when it was on fire. The worshipers at Pentecost saw God in tongues of fire. In some strange way, I hope we can see God in the fire of burning buildings and cars, as business owners lament, as police departments ponder, and as broken and oppressed people hope. May the fire of hope and change burn within our hearts this day of Pentecost and forever. Amen. I'd like to thank Kim and Lorraine, and Jerry and Barb for that lovely number, which added the wonderful sense of God's Spirit in this service. We sense it with all of you, with your prayers, your support, your care, and your love for us. God bless you, and goodbye.